Hi, everyone. Okay, so we're gonna be nice and intimate and informal here, right? First of all, thanks very much for giving us your time today. I'm gonna try and make this worthwhile. I get the advancer is here, yeah? Perfect. Okay, so before we start off here, we're gonna be talking about employee advocacy and what it's like from the employee perspective a bit today. But I wanna start off with a little journey with you on employee advocacy in general. So first of all, how many people in the room here actually have an employee advocacy program now? Okay, great, so there's one person. How many are thinking, and this is not to sell you anything, okay, plus just, there's a method to my madness here. How many of you are actually thinking about doing employee advocacy? How many people kind of don't know what it is and they're curious and trying to figure it out? Perfect, that's exactly the mix I thought we'd get here, about a third, 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 that's great. Okay, so let's start off by talking about why employee advocacy matters and what are the benefits of it, right? And this is typically, by the way, that you're gonna be approached to discuss employee advocacy, right? This is the way consultants and marketers think about this, the way vendors think about it. And these are what I call top-down, top-level benefits that you can achieve. So let's think about why this works, right? You know, there's all kinds of data out there that we can access that tells us that employee advocacy is successful. The underlying reasons are pretty straightforward, right? Your employees have networks in which they're trusted. Right, they actually have real engagement with those networks, right? They aren't some influencer with 300,000 followers who they can't possibly have real two-way engagement with, right? So if you look at things like, for example, the Edelman Trust Barometer. Anybody read the Edelman Trust Barometer every year? Okay, by the way, it's pretty sad if you read it, right? Where trust in every institution in our society is just collapsing across the globe. It's really terrifying to read. But what you see is that if you start looking at trust data, you see part of the reason employees are trusted is because so few other institutions and people are trusted in our society. And so people trust their peer networks to give them the straight scoop, right? People trust their peer networks to be honest with them, to not spin them, right? And so what happens is employee advocacy is becoming increasingly important because the underlying reality is that these are the people that you can go to and put a face to and think of as a human being, right? Instead of thinking as a brand. Somebody said it earlier, you don't engage with people, not a brand, right? So this is true. Now, as marketers, we need to be cognizant of what we're trying to drive in terms of ROI. But I don't know, I'm gonna ask another question here. Does anybody aside from me in the room think that we're a little too focused on ROI and data in marketing? Oh, sorry, okay. Not that it's not important, right, to make money. I mean, goodness, most of my career has been a seller or running selling teams, so, you know, I know what it's like to have to make a number more than most, right? And I appreciate how important that is. But the fact is that in order to get these great top-line benefits, you know, of brand recognition, right, well, let's stop there for a second. One of the things you can get out of an employee advocacy program is to drive a better brand, to drive a new brand image, to drive new brand messaging. One of our a recent client we worked with, major technology firm, was known for old mainframe software. I think I can say their name. Can I say their name? They've given us permission to pass through that, right? It's CA.com. And they essentially drove a successful 5-year rebranding effort that took them from an old line mainframe software company that nobody wanted to really go to work for, was under 40, to the point where they were at career fairs in 2018 and young people walking into the booth and say, wow, CA.com is so cool. Right, they're really doing great stuff in big data, analytically, kind of brand I'd like to be with. So there's a lot of things you can achieve with employee advocacy because of these employee networks, right? And you know, you can also drive some really nice outcomes that are gonna impact your marketing across the board. Right, so what a lot of you are here talking about content and thinking about content. So that how do we drive more authentic engagement with our content? Right? So clearly, employees, their networks are more trusted. They're going to get more engagement on the content. So we can drive things like better click-throughs, web traffic. And by getting link backs and other things to improve SEO, we can even drive better SEO. So there's a lot of benefits to employee advocacy that you can achieve that as we start sort of parsing it out with your marketing strategies, there's really a lot of benefits to. Now, there's another side of it, too, that's really very important, is thinking about what are the needs of your HR team? What are the needs of the rest of the business outside of generating leads and generating customers, right? So it turns out that we can also have a major impact on recruiting by driving the employee's view of the brand through to their networks and creating a good impression of the brand with those people. And then also, when you have people referred into jobs, they convert like 7 times the rate of cold candidates. It's this really sick kind of improvement you can make in your recruiting right away, right? So if somebody who's in your network and knows you applies for a job, they're much more likely to take it. They're much more likely to be a good candidate. There's a lot of benefits to driving supporting recruiting and HR with employee advocacy. And again, you know, these are the kind of things you need to think of at a top level to say, well, why should we do employee advocacy? Right? Now, let's look at the social media platforms. I'm just taking some data here from LinkedIn, from their really great study they did. I suggest everybody in the room get it if you want to think about LinkedIn. This is selling ROI, social selling ROI, and sort of looking at behavior on LinkedIn by buyers and what that really is worth to them. And what you can see is that social media is, particularly this is LinkedIn, right, is becoming more of a destination and an engagement platform for decision makers and for people driving business. And I don't know about you, I do see that in my own life. I actually use LinkedIn more now for gathering information and things like that, and I engage more in it than I used to. And I think that we're seeing across the board that there is more access to people on social media platforms, right? The other thing we're starting to observe is that when we get engagement on social media, it's a great signal to know we're on track with prospects, we're on track with the market. It really will let us, when we start engaging our prospects and buyers on social media, we're going to be able to get good results and good engagement from it because the buyers are there now more than they used to be. The decision makers there, the buying committee, other folks involved in sort of maybe just letting you through the door and saying, hey, it's worth looking at these folks, are there. And, you know, there's interesting data like, you know, when you get multiple people engaged with somebody on LinkedIn, how much more powerful that is. One of the things we do in our sales team is we do team selling, right, and team engagement on social media. One of my enterprise reps had two intro meetings today. They both got a note from me, the supporting the prospects, saying, hey, I understand you're meeting with Dean today. That's great. I'm out of town. I'm here to help anytime if you'd like to talk strategy or whatever. I just figured we'd be connected. Have a great day. That's a touch that makes a difference to a buyer. Guarantee you, it works for us, right? So, you know, there's a lot of tactical stuff we can do and we need to think about when we want to drive lead gen, drive opportunities, drive brand, drive recruiting, right? And it's good to know that the buyers are there, right? It's good to know that there's more and more opportunity on these platforms. But, and it's a big but, if you just stop there, if we think as just marketers, top down, what we want, what my brand needs, what my digital marketing efforts need, what I need to make my SEO numbers, to make my lead gen numbers, you're not going to be successful with employee advocacy. It's that simple. Because it is the strangest initiative you will ever run as a marketer. Because people can just opt out of it. They can just say, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore. They're their social media properties. You can't coerce them. And in fact, if you did, you'd expose yourself to massive liability. So you'd never want to do that. It's also unprofessional and the wrong way to manage people, right? That can make you promote something. You know, maybe the sellers, right, the salespeople, SDRs, et cetera, they've got more of a responsibility to project an image out for your brand, right? And the thing is, if you approach them from the perspective of, like, I need you to do this to help me get results as a marketer, that's a very short conversation for most employees, right? And think about it. Maybe for some people, they kind of view it as their responsibility to help marketing out and help the brand out. But what about the engineers? What about the accountants? They never signed up to do that, right? What about the people, you know, in operations or other areas of the business? They didn't set up part of the employment agreement was, hey, I'm going to help promote this brand. They've got a job to do. They do it well. It really can come off as an odd ask, actually, if it's about, hey, help us grow the business, help us grow the brand. And so what we need to do is turn the tables on this and think about this from the bottom up, what the employee cares about. So we've been at this since the end of 2010. Right, we're one of the first companies to begin doing this, and our founder was a CMO, and he was interviewing with a tech company CEO to say, hey, how could we do better on social media? How could we do something besides paid? How could we get some results here? Gosh, wouldn't it be great if we get the employees involved, right? And so we've been at this ever since. He just didn't take the CMO job. He started a company, kind of classic tech startup story, right? And here we are today. Well, the good news is we've learned from thousands and thousands of companies over that period of time, what works and what doesn't. And we've seen some patterns emerge in the clients we encounter that are kind of uniform across almost every business. And by the way, this isn't true just in B2B. This is true in any population we try to get engaged here. We have some clients who aren't doing focusing this on employees. They're focusing it on partner networks. We have a client who's working to drive social change and at-risk youth groups. We have partners who are working with alums and institutions. A lot of different stakeholders can be involved in this, but what you're gonna find is that they're not monolithic. Where they're at is not uniform. And if you think of these people as just all the same, you're gonna miss what's going on. So let's take a look at what we typically see. So, and by the way, does anybody look at the slide and say, this is crazy, makes no sense? Like, this kind of lines up with how you probably see the groups when you do this kind of thing. But I think what we might all understand this, but I wonder, how many of you have actually slowed down and really started to think about what's going on with these people, right? There's a lot going on with them that if we can address, we get a much better chance of them participating in an employee advocacy program, right? So let's think about the people on the left. This is where everybody wants to start, right? This is the low-hanging fruit. Well, so you have 1 to 5% of most brands that are already doing something on social media. These people are very interesting, right? They can write their own content. They know how to use hashtags. They know what image to use. They've got a sense of timing and frequency. They probably know your brand messaging pretty well, too. Although, if you actually look at what they share and you actually take it apart, what you'll see is about half of them are promoting their own personal brands. Which again, that's nice, right? That's helpful to them, and that's, you know, in some ways helpful to the brand. But their content is often not on message with their strategy and what's important to you right now. It may not be related in a lot of ways to what you're trying to have as a narrative. Now, you also, last thing in the world is you want to tell these people to stop because you're hanging on to them. They're at least doing something, right? So they kind of have a lot of leverage over social media once they get doing it and people don't tell them to stop, right? You know, these are interesting people, but they're also, I'll tell you, when you roll out an employee advocacy program to them, you're going to get a mixed reaction from them. Because remember, they've got their own processes and workflow and content and way of doing things that works for them. So we want to be very thoughtful when we approach them. What we want to do is we want to make these people leaders in the program. We want to empower them to be content creators. We want to retweet them, right? We want to share their posts, right? We want to build an ecosystem around them that starts to help them build the brand. And then what we want to do is provide them a base level of engagement so they're more on message, so they're more coherent. Don't stop them from doing what, like, don't tell them they can't do what they're doing. Like, they continue to do what they're doing. The other thing we can do for some people recognize this is kind of a burden to get the content out all the time, right? So if you're helping them now with a steady stream of foundation of content, they can feed their followership and let off the gas a little bit on creating their own content, maybe do a better job with quality, maybe submit the content to you first, right? And collaborate with you a little more when they realize that you're trying to help them. So this is a very important group, but if this is where you do your employee advocacy program, you know that it's going to start and stop there. And I suggest to you, you only get marginal improvements because they're already busy. That's not the white space, right? The white space is the next group over who aren't really doing much, but they were a very unique group. And again, 5 to 20%, this is just observational. I've got a lot more data in the rest of the presentation, okay? I can't find, there's no survey data on this. I was trying to get our company to do it. I couldn't pull it off in time. I'm trying to have better data sometime this year on this so we can really back this up. So this is what I surmise, right, over doing this for a while. But and I've literally given this talk to hundreds of people at this stage of the game, and every time they say this maps up. So there's that level of confidence that I think makes this valid. The second group, they're very interesting, right? They're doing a little bit on social media. They kind of engage a little bit. They go in fits and spurts, right? But maybe they don't know how to use images well. They don't know how to use call-outs well. Their timing is sporadic. Maybe they're not great writers, right? There's some stuff going on with them that makes them very not very effective on social media. They also don't get a lot of engagement, right? So they're not getting any of the goodies. Like, for some of these people, nothing good has ever happened to them on social media, right? And this really is very discouraging, right? So these people, they're like half given up, they half try, they don't do a great job. But what they've got that you can leverage is they've got FOMO about social media. They are wondering, they feel like they're underperforming and that they're missing out. So these people look at that 1 to 5% and they're jealous of them. They wonder, why can't I be more like them? Why aren't I cool on social media like that? We had a person like that, I won't name her this morning. Were you watching the hashtag? Did you see, is it Carrie? She must have done like 50 tweets this morning, and everyone was spot on. Perfect image, great text slug, right hashtag, sent out, she's firing them out every 3 minutes. You know, people are just gonna be jealous of that. Like, I'm jealous of her. I can't do that on Twitter, right? So this group of people, they're sitting there, and if you approach them the right way and remove the blocks that are stopping them from being active on social media, they're going to be very likely to want to take up an employee advocacy program. But think about what I'm saying here. You need to solve a problem for them, right? The point isn't to go, oh, they're susceptible to wanting to help marketing. No, they're not. Nobody's susceptible to wanting to help marketing in general, okay? So what they will do, though, is if they feel like you're going to give them a feed of content that makes them look great and also is good content to engage their followers, engage their networks, they're gonna feel good about this. By the way, these people usually have pretty big networks. They focus on building a network, right? So there's a lot for you to get out of this. The other thing about them is they're like good corporate citizens too. So that's your first easy win. But remember, you've got to find these people, right? You're not going to know who they are. One of the things we do at Gaggle Amp, a best practice, I'm not going to talk anything about our product today. There's no pitch in this conversation. But we do have a lot of best practices, which are interesting. So we suggest inviting everybody and seeing who raises their hand. It's a very interesting thing. The people who raise their hand will not be the people you think will raise their hand. And if you want to discover this next group over, that's the way to do it, right? Trust me, you won't get too many people volunteering. It'll be okay. You'll be able to manage it with whatever program you put together. But what we really want to do is be empathetic to each of these groups of people, right? And start thinking from their point of view what's missing. So think about what's missing for them. Maybe, like I said before, maybe they're not a great writer. Maybe they don't know what content to share. Maybe they don't have a strategy on social media. By the way, we'll get to this a little more later, but maybe they need help on who to follow. Who are the influencers in the marketplace? Who should they be connecting with, right? They need help on a lot of levels. By the way, we're mostly beyond profile cleanups. I'm not going to talk about profile cleanups in this conversation. I assume as social media marketers in 2019, we know how to work with our employees, and there's a million articles online you can get to do that, right? So, but some of them may need that kind of help. A little workshop with everybody to brush up their profiles may be really helpful to them. Okay. Let's talk about the next group. And again, the 40 to 50, 60%, that's an estimate, right? It varies a lot by brand. Especially, it's funny, as employee advocacy matures and becomes more of a mainstream adoption, we have a lot of old line industrial firms coming to us. It seems to be our specialty for some reason. Companies like Gatinga, Zebra Technologies, Centrica is kind of a rebrand, Aspen Technology, a bunch of these big honking industrial companies who are kind of playing digital marketing catch up a little bit. And they've got a group of people who are basically inactive on social media, but have networks. That's interesting, right? So they're not even trying. These people don't have FOMO. They've concluded that social media is no payoff for them. And this is another, and by the way, each of these themes I'm talking about, they actually occur in all the groups. So think about the mindset here as being a blend. Like, people aren't really this categorical about how to do this. But what these people are doing is they're like, it's an economic equation for them. Why would I spend any time on LinkedIn or Twitter? What do I get out of it? Nothing. Especially, I'm talking B2B. Now, the thing you also have to know is these people might be very busy on social media for their own personal purposes, like for the classic car club or the rock band that they love that's touring, or their community association or the gun club or whatever they do, on the weekends, right? You'll find this idea that there's a lot of people not engaged on social media anymore for their personal lives. I think that's becoming less and less true. So the question you got to start to ask is, why have these people made a decision that social media is a waste of time? Right? And if we can start to think about why they would make that decision, what you'll find is a little bit of education will go a long way with this group of people, understanding what the opportunity is. The other thing is, if you can get this next group over to start doing it, they're going to start noticing that other people are getting good stuff happening, right? And they're going to say, maybe I should pay a little more attention to this. What you'll find in this group, too, is they like the brand. And they would like to support the brand if you make it super easy for them, if the ask is really, really low, right? And this is a problem with a lot of employee advocacy solutions out there. The ask for the employee is far too high, right? The kind of, what platform should I share it to? What should I say? For a person who's not a good writer, trying to we're marketers, right? So we can just write up some content. It takes 30 seconds for us. We proof it a couple times. We're good to go, right? Just treat one of these people, try to take one of these people and like observe them writing a tweet or observe them writing a comment on LinkedIn, how many times they erase it, how angry they're getting, and then they can't get the right image, it's the wrong size, we got to make it super easy for them, do a little education, respect them, say, hey, we're here to help. And by the way, your help will be really good for the brand. And so some component of those people are going to be really susceptible to the right kind of approach and communication strategy. These are a longer burn group. They're going to take a while to get involved. If you run an employee advocacy in your program, in your company, particularly if you have a larger company, what you're going to find is there's a journey you're on over time. So initially, getting people involved, there'd be some initial excitement about it. You'll get this one group in, and then what will happen is over time, people will mature in how they interact with the program, so you'll be able to change actually how you curate and what your strategy is once they get more accustomed to the doing this and reliant on it. And then what happens is the other people in the company are going to start noticing this is going on and working for other people, and other people talking about it, saying, this is so easy, it's so great, the marketer sends me this thing, I press two buttons, it's shared, and I'm good to go, boom, boom, boom. Over time, you'll be able to get there with these people, right? And then you're going to become more sophisticated in how you ask them to engage in social media. There's a last group who are absent in social media, and we have a strict rule in Gagalamp. No negative feedback ever to anybody. You have a right to bail out of this, and we put a smile on our face if you do it, right? We have to be respectful to these people because they're not obliged to do it. And what happens is you can't in some companies, this is actually more, by the way, you can't move them. I don't want us to tell you, don't bother, don't go fight a battle you're going to lose. Stay with your area of opportunity, particularly if you're starting out, go after the FOMO group. They are the easiest ones to get on board, okay? The other thing is you gotta set your expectations correctly when you do this. So, you know, your management is gonna be looking for amazing instant results, right? I suggest you kind of reset their expectations a little bit about what they're really gonna be able to get out of this at first. Now, over time, you'll be able to generate massive results. We have clients with, you know, a few thousand employees who, I just looked at a program, we did a sum over 4 years, they generated 1.4 million clicks, right? That's worth, you can do that little 8 times, 1.2 million. Although I've gotta say, that's a good way to monetize. We have a little ROI calculator in our product. But the question you need to ask yourself, and what your CFO is gonna ask, or your CMO is probably gonna ask, maybe not the CFO, is like, what are those clicks I would have wanted to pay for? Right? Very careful when you do the ROI connector, you're like, oh, I pay $8 for this on average, so these might not be clicks that you were going to pay for anyway, not in your target audience. So I think you gotta be very careful about ROI when you talk about this. It's kind of like a crawl, walk, run strategy. When you have a program that's really effective, boy, you can align this in your marketing strategy. What you can do is you can turn this into essentially your organic earned media channel and make it part of your media mix. So every campaign that you run now has an employee advocacy component to it. And you have this ready, willing, and able army who are gonna engage with you as you direct them to. And by the way, you're gonna be able to control the message a lot more too. Right, so over time, you're gonna get to this promised land, but that's gonna take you at least 18 months. And realistically, it could take you 2 or 3 years to get there. Some people don't wanna hear that. There's no magic, right? If there's a shorter way to do it, trust me, if we figure it out, we'll share it with you, or if somebody else knows it, I'd love to learn it. But over time, you can really get someplace profound, but you gotta build it step by step. And it starts by thinking bottom up. So let's talk more about this employee. What are the concerns that they have as an individual? What's really going on? Well, they've got a lot of concerns. So again, we talked about this first group, you know, the first couple of groups, people that are really concerned with social media. They're people who want to establish thought leadership, right? They want to project industry expertise. But you know, there's a bunch of people out there who aren't able to do that, who would really like to be able to do that. So there's a certain group of people who are going to be able to get to participate in this program just by the belief that they're going to be able to look better on social media. Those are much more likely to be sellers of some sort, or customer success people, or people who are engaging with your clients because they really want to project thought leadership in a way that's going to make them more appealing. So that's the positive motivation. Now, underneath the covers, they're going to have a lot of concerns about their privacy. And some of them aren't going to voice this. So what you want to do is be very forward-leaning about what is the impact that it's going to be? Is there any monitoring going on my social media pages? What happens to my credentials? Right, can you access my credentials? Could you access my social media account? Are you going to share automatically to my pages? You know, obviously the answer should be no to all those questions, right, if you're going to do this. But you know, if you think that's not going on, you've got to slow yourself down. This is definitely a concern what they have. And there's another interesting aspect to this too. So what you'll find is that the employees are not just looking to benefit themselves, but a lot of them really do want to support the brand, not marketing, the company, right? They want to say, hey, they're engaged, they believe in their company to some degree, even if they're mixed about it, somewhat cynical about it. But they will support the brand if you give them a way to do it, and recognize them, acknowledging them for doing so is really crucial. They want to be, and they don't want, look, we have a gamification thing we do in our product, right? Most employee advocacy has gamification now. And you know, we say make the prize small. You don't want people pressing the button to get the GoPro. Short term, you might get some nice results. It's not the right mindset. What we want to do is acknowledge those people who are supporting the brand, like a meeting, a lunch with, you know, one of the VPs. One client did a parking spot, that's just, and then it was in a place where parking was a nightmare, and it was this whole, it was really like a big deal to get a good parking spot, you know, especially, but they made it like, I forget what they called it. It was great though. And so we want to, and we also really, the way to think about this is aligning this with other sort of recognition of incentive programs you have in the company, right? So they're going to feel like they're acknowledged for doing something special. Okay, anybody have any questions about it? Look, we don't have to be really formal here. What, I got like eight of you here? Is that, I probably counted too many, I'm being generous, right? Anybody have any questions about any of this? Well, yeah, so we've been through a lot of changes on this, right? So the problem is employees only open up 15% of your emails. So if you write a great email trying to communicate them about this, I mean, that's one of the really depressing things, right? You try to communicate to your remote employees and they won't open your emails. You can try running a webinar, you know, the training session, about 10% of them will show up for that. And most of them will be multitasking and not listening when you're doing it. So what we recommend now is doing a self-training video that covers all these issues. So what you want to do is you want to do a pre-launch. This is kind of very specific. If anybody is, this is boring, I'm sorry, we'll just go through it. So you want to have a pre-launch communication strategy, right? That's really well thought through. You probably want to do some surveying of employees. You want to get tuned into what's going on and get bottoms up intelligent about these people as much as possible. And then what we do is like a 2 to 3 minute, we do it for our clients, we do a 2 to 3 minute self-training video for the members. Because it should be dead simple for them to get onto these platforms, right? And then in that you say, in our case, I will tell you how we use OAuth, the credentials are always encrypted, we can't get to them, you can't get to them, nothing gets shared unless you press the button, and we do no monitoring, right? But just communicating these things, they just need to know it. You don't need to get too fancy about it, but you need to make sure the message gets through. So the medium is really important. A lot of people aren't getting the message and then they sign up and they're still not sure, right? So they bail out. That kind of answer your question? Good. All right, now let's get into some data. I went crazy when I saw this report. And I only pulled out a few of these here because we could be here till 7 if you want to go through all the data in this report. It's so interesting to me. But what a woman named Samantha Stone, a company called Marketing Advisory Network, did a great, great study on self-reporting, on people, you know, how they talk about the brand, what they want to do in social media and content. So we're going to go through some of this, right? So it's interesting. The one thing I want you to think about is forget about social media and the digital world for a second. Look how many people are talking about your brand already. It's interesting, right? People already have a point of view about your company and your brand and talking about it informally in their human networks, flesh-to-flesh conversations, right? Well, why is it so hard to translate that to social then? It's not actually, but when it was not approaching them properly, they actually want to talk about the brand. And by the way, this is not all employees, right? Let's be realistic, you got some people who aren't happy with the brand. Okay, they're not gonna participate. Focus on the people who feel great about the brand, who have high levels of engagement with your brand. When I say engagement, I'm talking very specifically about like the Gallup measure of engagement. Does everybody know what that is? Okay, so I'll explain it real quick. Gallup's famous for doing an employee engagement survey they've built over the years. They do incredible longitudinal studies with different cohorts. It's really one of the most valid pieces of research out there underneath this study that you can get incredibly reliable data about how your employees feel about your brand in a number of different ways. So what I'm saying is people who are highly engaged with your brand, that's the kind of engagement I mean. I don't mean like clicking on a piece of content, right? Psychologically, they've got an affinity for the company and the brand. So, you know, if this is so, why is it so hard to get an employee advocacy program off the ground? Or if you do get it off the ground and get it going, why do they tend to go like this over time? And by the way, that's the dirty secret of employee advocacy programs. And any vendor doesn't tell you this is just I think, is not being straight up with you. I call it a Sisyphean task. You're literally pushing the rock back up the hill if you're managing an employee advocacy program, right? You're constantly trying to refresh, be on offense, re-recruit, re-communicate, get rid of the users who don't want to be in anymore, find new people who want to get involved. That's the way it looks. Okay, this is not easy to make work. Now, I could do a whole pitch another time on why GaggleAmp, I think our approach is better. The point is, it's uniform in the industry that this is not easy to do. So let's be realistic about it, and let's think about what is going on with the employees that has that going on, and it really gets back to what I was talking about in the previous slide, but keep in mind, there are a lot of people who do want to do good stuff for your brand, if we get through all the blocks that are sitting there. So look at this. This is interesting. Now, this is looking at the relationship that you have with your brand, how passionate you are about it, and how often you might share information about your company or job on your social network. So people will share, but, you know, are you helping them? Are you guiding that? And my point here is there's a lot of this going on already, right? They've already got a lot of things to say about the brand. They're already engaging on social media to some degree about it, right? So are you not, if you're not kind of guiding them and influencing them on this, like there's almost like a steady state that's kind of not so great, right? And look at the people who are, you know, not at all passionate, right? I mean, it's just, right? But, you know, we could also start to maybe think about what we're doing with employees in general, right? And this is one of the things that employee advocacy can't fix. Say you've got employees who have low affinity for your brand, low engagement for your brand. Employee advocacy is probably not going to work very well, right? So if you've got a fundamental employee engagement problem, you probably need to deal with that first. Now, obviously, that's not my place to say that because we just do these employee advocacy programs, but we do run into that. And so, you know, I think a great place to start with employee advocacy is collecting some survey data, doing some survey research, do some focus groups even. And here's one of the things that I want you to be really careful about. Don't just focus on the people who are already doing it. I'd say half the marketers we meet, their first instinct is like, yeah, I'm going to start with the people who are already sharing. I got the list from LinkedIn. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're going to be missing a lot. You're going to only hear the good news. Because those people obviously have high affinity for the brand already, right? So you're not going to even really be able to gauge what's really out there. And they're a minority, they're a subset. I'll go even further. That's actually a personality type. I happen to, previously in my career, I was with the company that did the fundamental research for Net Promoter, along with Bain, Bain Consulting. And what the Net Promoter research, one of the best studies ever done on referral behavior, that's what it looked at was referral behavior under different circumstances. And referral behavior is driven by psychology, by personality type in the main. It's not really driven by how happy I'm about your brand. There's certain people, you could basically give them $1 million and they wouldn't say anything good about your brand because they, and why do they do that? They have a conservative, not political, a conservative strategy for their lives. They don't wanna take risks. Like one of the things you'll find is people don't refer financial products. They don't refer banks, they don't refer investments because they don't wanna be wrong, right? So if you're really careful when you think about what's going on with the employees and their behavior around your brand, and you want to understand that, you know, some of these things we think are about your brand are often about the psychology of the people involved. This is maybe my favorite slide ever. And you know, if I had more time, I wouldn't have cut it out of the report and put it in here as a little clip. But, you know, I run a client team and a customer success team, and I just didn't have time to put it in a spreadsheet. Should have gotten somebody else to do it, maybe. But a little bit of an eye chart here. This is what they self-report they'd like to share by role. Okay, I'm gonna run a test here. Take a moment, look at this data, play along with me. What else are we gonna do this afternoon? Okay. Is there some number on here that just jumps out at you as weird? All right, I'm not gonna make you struggle, right? It's a rhetorical question. When I looked at this data, I was like, what? Look at development, engineering, and finance with news about the company's growth. Self-report, 43%, they want to share information about company growth versus sales, 21%. How on earth could that be? Does that make any sense? Honestly, does anybody intuition tell them this would be the case? Certainly not mine. We need to think about what's going on with these people a lot more. Think about what's going on with your engineers and people in finance, right? What are their networks comprised of? Peers, people they've worked with in the past and who they went to school with primarily, right? Their cohort working their way through their career paths, right? Especially if they're professionals, you know, they've got certifications, advanced degrees, they've got a smaller cohort they're tight with. There's a lot of ego investment in which jobs you take and which companies you work for, if you're an accountant or an engineer. Right? There's a lot of pride in the product, the growth of the firm, what the impression of it is. Right? So and look at this, even the IT people say they want to share stuff more than the salespeople and marketing. I mean, slightly, right? But you know, this is something that most people would say, I hear this all the time, the engineers, I don't know about them. Well, I think if you think about the engineers, what you'll find is they segment out. And there are some engineers who are in that last category, they just wrote off social media, but there's a bunch of engineers who have FOMO, guarantee it, wish they were doing something on it. Actually, there's a small group of engineers who create content or want to, or may create great content on GitHub or wherever they hang out for the engineering expertise in their field, whether it's, I don't know, rocket science or whatever they're doing, right? They would love to be able to be more effective. They would like to project a brand, right? But they're not able to. And those people are very influential in other engineers, by the way. Also a great source of content. Why not recruit that subset of the engineers who are already engaged or want to be engaged? Maybe they're not engaged yet, right? But maybe they want to be engaged. Maybe they can find good content for you. Wouldn't that be interesting? To have some help finding content that the other engineers would like to share, right? So as we go through this, you start to see there's lots of ideas we can start to harvest by role, right? And if we keep moving on through this, what we want to start to say think about is, well, what would they actually want to share? If I was, you know, and instead of, oh, well, I've got the content factory going, and here's the content calendar, and a new blog piece is coming out, we'll just shove that on through. It's not the right approach. Remember, they want to look good. If you're not making them look good, they're not going to play, right? So I think that, you know, what you see, though, this is an interesting breakdown of content, right? Look about like specials, promotions, and discounts. Even the salespeople, you can't get them over 29%. Look, IT seems to care about it more because they're cheap. I used to sell to IT. They negotiate, right? That's the way they are. I kind of respect that, right? They're hard people to sell to and hard people to win over. Once you win them over, they're your friends for life. But, you know, it's interesting to start to understand what they care about, right? And if we stop, and we have to think about content differently. And so one of the scary things here for most marketers is that we're asking you to do more. We're asking you to put more work in, spend more time on this, curate a feed for them that actually looks like a brand builder feed that in other words, like, oh, my marketing team is creating an awesome feed that makes me look great on social media. Okay, so this is some analysis we did within GaggleAmp. This is just looking at different activities that a manager can create. So the way the way all these products work is the same. Some marketer puts some content in and boop, it pops up for the member to share or take some action, right? So this is just us looking across thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Gaggles, right? Of what the manager added, what they thought was important, versus what the employee thought was important, or the actions they decided to take, right? Now, you see, so there's some alignment here. It's not as shocking, but, you know, they want to do Facebook photo a lot less than you think, right? And I think that's actually, I think that you have to be careful about that data because, like, I won't connect my Facebook account to my employee advocacy program. I use that for my friends and family, for personal purposes. It's locked down, every privacy setting. It's not for that in my eyes. So that's a little skewed by this, right? But what's interesting is to figure out, well, how tuned in am I to what the employees actually like here? So the conclusions are your employees really like sharing and posting on LinkedIn. Managers like Facebook more than employees. Employees want to do more on Twitter. We're probably underexploiting Twitter based on what we see out of this data. And we think a lot of the employees don't have accounts, or maybe they you know, don't know what to do on Twitter, or it's for celebrities. Maybe that's not as true as we think. Let's also talk about something else that we want to do when we're curating this feed for them. We also want to incorporate social actions, right? So not just content, but likes, follows, retweets, reshares. You have to do both. Imagine that you have a list of influencers, the 50 influencers in your organization, in your industry, that are crucial, are really sharing great content. I bet your engineers don't know who 45 of them are. They have a few people they follow. Wouldn't it be great if now they were following on Twitter and on LinkedIn all those people who are contributing great content and great ideas, and they see you as somebody who pointed that out, helped them get a much richer feed, so when they go into LinkedIn, it's not just silly salespeople, right? It's actually some interesting content in their feed, right? So there's a lot of stuff that we need to think about to make this work for the employees, okay? And it's not as simple as, oh, here's my new channel. And I think I've just about hit the time limit here. So I'm gonna wrap up with this message. Here's the bullet. Only 24% of the content they wanna share is promotional. This means you have to curate a lot of content that you don't have already. You probably need a curation solution to make this work. You know, I mean, there's a great one called Scoop It, which I love, because it has a free version, that has a $20 version, and a $60 version, and the big honking enterprise curation thing, right? So you can kind of grow with them, but you can start off right away just putting in some search terms and getting content, so you can get some good third-party content, industry content, you know, and then people love news about the company, the company outing, you know, things going on with the employees, social commitments, whatever you've got going, right? So this is, and then content that's relevant to their department. Don't send the same feed to everybody. Segment this. It won't work if you send the same feed to everybody. Okay, that's the advertisement at the end. That's who we are.